are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 22 to 30 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit RockAuto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. Just another reminder that these shows are coming out at 5 a.m. So if you're a morning person, you can now listen to these shows first thing. All right, coming up on today's show, we're going to play part two of my conversation with Millard Thomas from Locked On D-backs. Yesterday was part one, and that was mostly about the D-backs, Millard answering my questions. And then later on, we talked about the division as a whole. So today's segment of that conversation is actually mostly me answering his questions. So it is very Giants focused today. Coming up on Friday, tomorrow, we are going to do a mailbag. So look out on Twitter for the prompt. And then one more crucial piece of information is that starting today, I'm going to be making weekly appearances on the Locker Room app. So on the app, I'm going to be able to do a live podcast. I think we'll do our mailbags there from time to time, maybe every time. And you can join me in the app, you can leave questions in the chat, and you can also be quote-unquote invited on stage, and you can ask a question directly with your own voice in real time. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Look out for that. That is probably going to be happening today. So follow me on Twitter, at Ben Caspick, for the details. And again, it's the Locker Room app, and you can follow me there, at Ben underscore Caspick. But anyway, without further delay, we're going to jump into my conversation with Millard, starting with Millard asking me to grade the Giants offseason.
I just want to know, how do you grade this Giants offseason? They had some key additions with the Anthony DeSclafani, added a Tommy La Stella. So how would you grade the overall offseason for the Giants?
I would probably give them at least a B. It's tempting to give them an A, but that would probably be a little bit of me being a homer. They didn't make like major additions, but what they did is they were extremely active. They made among the most major league signings of any team. Bringing back Kevin Gausman is a big deal because he had a really good year for them. So bringing back Gausman, signing La Stella to a 3-year deal, Kurt Casale, Jake McGee, Matt Whistler, Jose Alvarez, Alex Wood, Anthony DeSclafani, Aaron Sanchez, John Brebbia. Those were all their major league signings. And actually another one too in Jason Vossler. So a lot of those are like kind of lesser known names. And that's kind of why I'm probably going to say like a B plus. A lot of upside they brought in the starting rotation. And then Tommy La Stella, I think, fits in really nicely with an offense that was quietly really good in 2020.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, Ben. Half those names I probably don't really know too much about. So hopefully they work out for you guys. But one dude that you did mention that I want to ask about is Tommy La Stella, because whenever a team acquires Tommy La Stella, there's always some hype and buzz around him. But looking at his career, he only has one season where he's played more than 120 games. And that was only 123 in 2018. An all-star in 2019, but only played 80 games that season. So what do you think about the Tommy La Stella signing? Is he going to live up to the hype? What kind of addition does he bring to the Giants?
Yeah, I don't think that he's a star, but I do think that he can be a really useful complementary player for them. And you're right. Like, if you look over his career numbers, he's only played over 100 games once. And when he was with the Cubs, he was basically a bench player for them because they had a really deep roster with, you know, basically stars at every position when he was there. And so he didn't really see that much playing time, except he was good when he played. He put up some really nice seasons. I'm looking, and, you know, it was limited plate appearances. So then he goes over to the Angels and finally gets more or less of an everyday role in 2019. And he was an all-star. Like, he got hurt and ended up only playing in 80 games. But he hit 16 home runs in those 80 games, had a 346 on base percentage, has a career 349 on base percentage, which is pretty good. And then we've seen him add power in the last couple of years. And in 2020, he played in 55 of the 60 games, and he had a 370 on base percentage. So I think that Farhan Zaidi, the Giants president of baseball operations, said when he was like introducing Tommy La Stella that expect him to set a career high in plate appearances in 2021, because he's going to play more or less every day. The Giants do a lot of platooning, so it's possible he doesn't really start against left-handed pitchers, but of course there are more right-handed pitchers, so he would start more often than not. And you know, on days that he doesn't start against a left-handed starter, he would come off the bench and make a pinch hit appearance, maybe stay in the game and get a couple of plate appearances even on days he doesn't start. So he's an interesting guy. I didn't even mention the fact that he doesn't strike out. Strikeout rate of 5.3% in 2020 was the lowest in MLB. And he also walked 12% of the time. So he walked more than twice as often as he struck out, hit for power, gets on base. I think the best is yet to come for Tommy La Stella. And, you know, it's the proof that the Giants are high on him is in that they gave him a 3-year deal for, you know, a guy who's already 32 years old. So, you know, we shall see, but he's a pesky player. And, you know, I think he really fits what the Giants need well, which was a left-handed infielder who could play second and third.
Yeah, I don't think he got a huge deal. Cause what was his deal that he got this offseason? Was it like 3 years, 39, somewhere around that?
No, 18.75.
Oh, for 3 years? Okay, yeah.
For 3 years.
Yeah, so that's basically a steal for a guy like Tommy La Stella. If you think he is going to play maybe 140-plus games, if he does have that upside that we saw in 2019, that could be a huge addition for this Giants team. But one other guy I want to talk about is in the rotation, Kevin Gausman. This guy, he's another intriguing guy. You know, he used to be a top Orioles prospect. He had a couple good seasons with the team. He's kind of bounced around the league and then had a pretty good 2020 season. I know this because I had him. I was picking him up off the waiver wire in my fantasy league. Helped me win a few matchups, honestly. So what do you think about Kevin Gausman? Was his 2020 real, and can he do it again in 2021?
Kevin Gausman was a great signing for the Giants in 2020. They signed him for 1 year, $9 million, and he came out and he pitched like an ace, basically. He ended up with a 3.62 ERA, but the peripherals were even better. The fielding independent pitching was at 3.09, which is getting into elite territory. So the way he was able to do it was with an upper 90s fastball and with like a devastating changeup. And pretty much that two-pitch mix, which you worry a little bit about a starting pitcher only having really two pitches. He does have a slider, but he doesn't throw it that often, and it's definitely his third best pitch. But man, I mean, if you look at the numbers, 32.2% strikeout rate, which came out to about 12 strikeouts per nine innings, that was among the leaders in all of baseball. So, I mean, they bring him back on the qualifying offer, which was $18.9 million. Kind of a hefty price for Kevin Gausman, but he earned it with the way he pitched. So it looks like he's going to be a semi-dominant pitcher from here on out. And that's kind of a theme, which is development. They've been able to make their hitters better in recent years with the new coaching staff. And I think Gausman is an example of that on the pitching side.
One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can then use on more important things like the mortgage or food. So why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Random example, a fuel pump assembly for a 2005 to 2010 Honda Odyssey costs $353.99 at Advance, a big chain store, and just $216.79 at rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is for everybody and doesn't require membership or even account logins. Best of all, they're a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game anymore. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, the Giants are just kind of like a land of misfit toys, just picking up pieces from all over Major League Baseball, honestly. And Gausman just fits right into that mold. And when I'm looking at some of the other players on this team, one other guy that comes to mind when I'm thinking of that analogy is Mike Yastrzemski, because this guy, 28-year-old rookie, and then in 2020, you know, he finished eighth in MVP voting. He was a stud, honestly, in 2020. So what is the backstory about this guy? We all know he's the grandson of the great Carl Yastrzemski. So where did this guy come from, and why did it take him so long to break into the majors?
He wasted away in the Orioles farm system for, I believe, 7 years. Yeah, I mean, he started there in 2013, and his last season in the Orioles system was in 2018, and he never made the major league roster despite spending numerous years in AAA. He got as high as AAA in 2016. So the Giants, under new president of baseball operations, Farhan Zaidi, who took over in the 2018 offseason, they go out, and one of the first moves that he made, I mean, it actually was several months into that offseason, but they trade for Mike Yastrzemski, giving up minor league pitcher Tyler Erb, who you've probably never heard of.
Never.
Right. So I think he had like a 6 ERA in the Orioles system in 2019, his first year over there. And meanwhile, Mike Yastrzemski gets called up in like May in 2019, ends up hitting 21 home runs in 107 games, actually hit his 20th home run of that season in Fenway Park, where, of course, Carl Yastrzemski played all those years. So he had a solid season in 2019. I believe he had a three-homer game against the Diamondbacks that year.
Of course.
Which, like you said, in 2020, he comes out and has a borderline MVP type of season in the short year. Hit .297 with a .400 on base percentage, .568 slugging, and plays a really good right field, can play some center field. And he's just emerged as the best player on this Giants team. And exactly like you said, misfit toys. They're just kind of cast offs from all over, and, you know, random kind of stories. Like, where did this guy come from? It's impressive and exciting. And he's also a really great and likable guy. So he's kind of the whole package. It just came together late, but it remains to be seen quite how good he's going to be. But clearly he's a solid major league player at this point.
Yeah, I'm looking at that box score now of that Mike Yastrzemski game against the D-backs. Three home runs back on August 16th. Just absolutely lit up our pitching that day. So he's been a godsend, honestly, for you guys since breaking into the majors. I don't think anyone saw this coming. Yeah, we saw his last name, but no one could have expected this kind of breakout from a dude in his late 20s. So he's still got a lot of time on his hands. And going back to Kevin Gausman real quick, just looking this up, he's only 1 year younger than Madison Bumgarner, if you can believe that. Kevin Gausman is. He seems like a dude who should be, you know, who's been in the league a few years, maybe 7 years. And it seems like Madison Bumgarner's been in the league like 20 years, but they're still only a year apart, just because Madison Bumgarner, as you know, broke into the league so early at age 19. But I bring up Kevin Gausman to say this. How do you feel about the Giants pitching heading into 2021? Because I feel like that's probably their biggest weakness. I like Kevin Gausman, but I have a lot of question marks about the rest of the rotation and their bullpen last year. They had a lot of trouble from that closer spot, closing games last year. So how do you feel about the pitching overall heading into next season?
You're definitely right that if there's a weakness with the Giants, it's a little bit counterintuitive. People often think of them as a team that struggles to hit, but if they do have a weakness, it's probably in the pitching side. I think, though, that there was a lot of turnover from last year to this year. There's certainly a lot of risk in the starting rotation in terms of uncertainty, but I think that pretty much 1 through 5, and even beyond that,
they have guys who have upside. And I would have said the same exact thing about Kevin Gausman entering 2020. And he's an example of someone who's or who did reach their upside. And so they've kind of filled out their rotation with guys who have a similar type of upside. Like Anthony DeSclafani, the guy throws hard and he's got some really nasty pitches. I hadn't seen a lot of him, but I have now, and he's an impressive guy, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up having a nice year also in that rotation. And actually, he's had some really nice years pitching in Cincinnati, which is not an easy place to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So behind him, they brought in Alex Wood, and they brought in Aaron Sanchez. And then, of course, they have Johnny Cueto still in year six of that six-year deal. But Alex Wood and Aaron Sanchez have some upside, right? Like Alex Wood has had some really good seasons in the past, not coming off the best year at all, but neither was Kevin Gausman entering 2020. If you look at what Gausman did in 2019, he was not good. And then he comes out in 2020 and has an excellent year. And so I don't think that they're going to hit on every single one of these guys, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if two out of the three of DeSclafani, Wood, and Sanchez have really nice rebound seasons, because they're all coming off down years. Aaron Sanchez didn't even pitch. He missed all of last year with shoulder surgery, but Aaron Sanchez led the American League in ERA as like a young 20-something year old in 2016. So the upside is there. And he, right before the Giants signed him, he threw in front of scouts and he was throwing 98 miles an hour, which is what he was doing back when he was at his best. So that's the starting rotation. I realized I didn't even mention the bullpen when I was saying all that, but you're right. They absolutely had trouble in the closer's role. And that's really what cost them a chance at going to the playoffs. They missed the playoffs by virtue of a tiebreaker scenario with the Brewers, and they blew, oh my goodness, they blew two games in a row against the Oakland A's, in which they had 5-run leads in the ninth inning.
That's awful.
I think maybe it was 5 runs the first time and then like 4 runs the second time, but it was nuts. And both times it was Trevor Gott, who is now off the 40-man roster. They DFA'd him. He ended up back in the organization, but he's probably not going to start the year in the major leagues. And another guy who really scuffled in the bullpen was Sam Coonrod, and they traded him to the Phillies. So some guys are gone. Sean Anderson was also traded, and he was a guy in that bullpen. So the new guys are Jake McGee, who had a really nice year with the Dodgers in 2020 after struggling with the Rockies.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Whistler, who had a really nice year with the Twins, throws a lot of sliders. Jake McGee throws a lot of fastballs, so they're kind of interesting pitchers. They bring in Jose Alvarez, who's a lefty reliever who's quietly had a really strong career. And yeah, so I think that you're going to see some different guys in that bullpen. And Reyes Maranta is also coming back from a shoulder surgery this year. So question marks for sure, but there's a lot of turnover and you're going to see a lot of different faces this year with the Giants.
Yeah, and I think probably the biggest question mark is just health for that rotation, because DeSclafani, Wood, and Sanchez, you know, Sanchez, as you mentioned, missed the whole 2020. And DeSclafani and Wood, you know, pitched less than 50 innings combined in 2020. So health is definitely going to be a big concern for them. And just looking at the roster, I just love how you guys have so many like throwback all-stars like Evan Longoria, Johnny Cueto, just so many dudes that are like past their prime, but still are still good enough to, you know, make a little bit of a contribution on a baseball team. But I do want to know, what direction is this Giants team heading in? Are they in a rebuild mode? I mean, you guys were competitive last year, so maybe you guys want to build off that momentum in 2021. So what direction is this franchise heading in right now?
Yeah, so they're trying to compete with what they have and, you know, trying to find players that they can keep around for the future, like Mike Yastrzemski, Alex Dickerson, and others that they've kind of found and have turned into good players for them. So they're trying to stay competitive while transitioning. They call it like a transition, and I think that's a really good word for it. Their farm system is on the rise and is by some accounts now in the top 10
Where, you know, whereas they started, you know, a couple years ago, they were ranked in the very bottom of all of baseball. So they're trying to stay competitive while they continue to build up this farm system that they're then going to just start to have players get funneled into the major league level. And suddenly you turn around and you're like, okay, this team was already kind of competitive. Now you add some good young talent. And then that's how you build, that's a winning team, right? If you have like a competitive foundation and then you add some young studs, that mm-hmm. suddenly you've got a good team. So I think quietly, like people think that they're like in the midst of some awful rebuild where their team is just dreadful, but that's not the case. Like you say, they were competitive. They really hit last year. The rotation definitely has that risk and injury risk, but there's also not, they didn't like give these guys 4-year deals, right? They're all just 1-year deals. So if it doesn't work out, so be it. And they can sell off some pieces at the trade deadline and try again next year. So that's kind of the thing. Stay competitive as you can be, but also with an eye towards the future.
Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing, and baseball is like just over 2 weeks away. If betting on sports isn't your thing, or you just want to expand your horizons, BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best place to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. I talked about how I would take the over on the Giants win total at 75.5. I think that's, you know, pretty safe, honestly. So anyway, head to their website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazing, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now's the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. How are we going to do that? Well, it's Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup is cookie dough chunk versus salted caramel. And I don't know how I would pick between these two. I guess I would have to go cookie dough chunk because cookie dough is like everything to me. I don't eat it a lot, but if I'm going to have a dessert, anything cookie dough, I'm going to go for it. Go to builtbar.com. or follow them on Twitter to vote on today's matchup. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That's LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com and check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. We're counting down the days to opening day here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Next Wednesday, March 24th, the Locked On MLB podcast begins one of our biggest events of the year with the Locked On MLB Division Preview Series. All of our local experts in every MLB market answer the biggest questions around each team. Follow Locked On MLB on the radio.com app or wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, and if you're picking off dudes like Mike Yastrzemski from other teams, farm systems, then you guys are going to be competitive for a long time because that was just an absolute fleece trading someone with the last name Herb. I just never heard of that name before. But right. What are some other young players that we should watch out for on this Giants roster? I mean, you guys are a little bit older of a team. It doesn't have to be even someone on that major league level right now. It could be someone waiting in the wings in the farm system. So what young players should a D-backs fan be on the lookout for?
D-backs fans got their first look of Joey Bart in 2020, and he is certainly considered one of their top two or three prospects. It did not go so well for Joey Bart in 2020. He was kind of rushed to the major leagues after Posey opted out of the season, and then the guys they had filling in didn't perform well. So he'll be back at some point. Bart is not going to be expected to be a starting major leaguer right out of the gates in 2021. He's actually probably going to start the season in the minors.
And so he'll be back at some point, and he's definitely someone to watch. He's probably their catcher of the future. And Elliot Ramos was their first round draft pick a few years ago. He's having a monster spring training this year. He's just hitting homers and getting on base constantly. He has a little bit of upper minors experience. He'll need to start the year in AA or AAA, but he's a guy who could debut in 2021. He's an outfielder. He has power. He has some speed, although he's slowed down a little bit as he's gotten a little older and bigger. But those two guys are probably the ones to watch for 2021. But then looking ahead beyond that, they have Marco Luciano, who's a 19-year-old shortstop prospect, and many prospect analysts consider him to be a top 10 prospect in all of baseball at 19 years old, never played above A ball. And, you know, he could progress through the system this year. Hopefully we get a normal minor league season to some extent, but if he gets to like double A by the end of this year, he could be looking at debuting in 2022. And if he continues to develop, people say he could be a guy who becomes the number one prospect in all of baseball, even as soon as like this time next year.
Now, I had money in 2020 on the Giants finishing last in the NL West because just looking on paper, I thought heading into the 2020 season, the Giants were just easily the worst team in the NL West. And who knew the D-backs were going to be fighting for last place in the NL West. So I'm not going to disrespect the Giants at all heading into the 2021 season. But do you think they can build off the momentum in 2020 and be a potential playoff team next season?
So I wish we had talked prior to last year because I would have convinced you that they were more talented than people thought, or at least I would have tried because I did that with everybody else like Javier, Locked On Padres. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I do think that they could build off what they did in 2020. I don't think it's very likely at all that there'll be a playoff team simply because we're going back to only having five playoff teams in each league, down from, what was it, 10 in each league, 8 in each league in 2020. So it's going to be tough because, you know, the Dodgers and the Padres, they're both going to make it, right? Like, unless something crazy happens. And then that only leaves one other playoff spot for a wildcard team, right? You've got the other division winners and then only one other team. And it's looking like the Mets are good. The Braves are good. The Nationals are just 1 year removed from being a World Series winning team. The Marlins made the playoffs. You've got the Brewers. You got the Cardinals. The Cubs are not terrible, maybe. So there's going to be a lot of competition for that second spot, and it would be tough for a team like the Giants. But I do think that they could build off what they did. And my semi-hot take potentially is that I think they're an above 500 team, which would be the first time for them since 2016. I've called them, I think I said 86 and 76, but I think that would be a little bit short of that second wildcard spot.
Okay, so it sounds like you got some pretty high hopes for the Giants in the 2021 season. I can't blame you coming off last year, and they've looked like they're moving in the right direction with their new president of baseball operations, as you've been mentioning, you know, this whole podcast. He's been making all the right moves, been pulling all the right strings. So I'm excited to see what the Giants have. Kevin Gausman was really good last year, and this team's got some upside. You know, they may not have, you know, big name players. They may not have the most notable names in baseball, but they got a lot of dudes that can just flat out produce. So the Giants are going to be feisty again in 2021.
All right, that is all the time we have for today. That is my entire conversation with Millard. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you didn't yet catch yesterday's, that was also a great conversation. I asked Millard a lot of questions about the D-backs, about Madison Bumgarner, which of these two teams is better. A lot of really good conversation there. Remember to follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick for details about the Locker Room app and my weekly appearances there that are probably going to be starting today at some point. So I hope to see you there every week on the Locker Room app. Anyway, I really hope you enjoyed today's show. If you did, please consider rating it or leaving a review. I know so many of you have recently, and it's helped me out a lot, and it means a lot to me, so thank you. Anyway, I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. So until then, we'll see you next time.